Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ wanted to shake every nation with the power of God, the miracles of God. When we read the book of Acts, we see what Jesus was just beginning to do in the surrounding nations around Israel, and it was going out to the nearby nations. And it's like God wanted this force, this power of the gospel to shake all nations. How many places in India and Africa, they still need it today. They still need this power of God to break through. And as Michael was encouraging us and building up us in our faith, we are God's servants. We have to do it. We have to lay hold of these scriptures. Sometimes we have to keep listening to a message over and over again. Keep putting those scriptures into yourself on a constant basis and just building yourself up in faith. Maybe you pray for someone and they don't get healed and you get discouraged. Oh, I'm not going to try again. No, you just listen to Michael's message again. You're ready to go again. I'm going to go out there and keep going. You know, I've had sort of ups and downs, let's say, in my own ministry, of times where I've been really encouraged. And it's like, man, I'm seeing powerful answers to prayer. And then something discouraging has happened. And it's sort of thrown me, I've sort of gone around a circle. And that's why we just have to keep building ourselves up, standing on the truth, standing on the word of God. Jesus is the healer. He's given us all these promises. Okay, the biggest change in my life was when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the two good things that brought this about was, one was a little book that I happened to come across, which was on speaking in tongues. And I read that book. And the second thing was a Christian youth camp where the preacher was an anointed man of God, and it gave opportunity to receive prayer. And it's like what Michael was saying, it's when you have that faith, it doesn't matter if you're a new Christian or been a Christian for a long time, or whether you're the Apostle Paul or you're somebody the world doesn't know. It doesn't matter if Paul lays your hands on you or that new believer lays his hands on you. Really, it's Jesus laying hands on you. So it's not looking to the person, it's looking to Jesus Christ. So when even a new believer, someone prays for you, you look not to that new believer, or who are you? It's Jesus Christ is mighty, and I'm receiving the blessing through Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit power changed my life, it gave me a fire to share the gospel. It gave me a burden for lost souls. You know, we do want to turn this into a practical thing, that the power is not just so that we can be blessed, it's because we're in a spiritual battle against the devil. The devil doesn't want New Zealanders to be saved. He doesn't want the unbelievers to be saved. He doesn't want India to be saved. So we've got to have a constant fire come into our heart that, oh man, I've got to reach lost people. I've got to take this message to others. And that's what came into me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly I wanted to share the gospel with other people. So we need to get a fire into our hearts. What can I do for the gospel? You know, I think how many Christian people who are wealthy and financially blessed are thinking, how many millions of people could hear the gospel if their eyes were open to what they could do? I have a different message, which isn't this message, but it's, you could get the gospel to 1 million people. And I preach that in some churches. And it's to motivate that church or that individual. Why don't you believe that you can get the gospel to 1 million lost people? Why don't you? You can. You can. We can do it. We can shake this world. We can take nations for Jesus. We can see the whole work of Christ shake India? How many villages haven't heard the gospel? So we want to get stirred up. We want to be challenged. God, what can I do? How can I better use my finance? How can I better use my prayer times? How can I pray with more faith? How can I walk in the power of God? How can I develop? You know, with evangelism, I like to encourage people to develop their testimony. Your testimony is powerful. Maybe you think, oh, my testimony is a bit boring. No, you need to work on your testimony. You need to put it together. Maybe make a tract of your testimony. Every one of you actually should have a tract with your testimony. Who's going to say, yes, I'm going to use my testimony a bit more effective from now on? I have a testimony. You have to write your gospel testimony. Who's going to do it? I actually remember speaking when I was in America in a Spanish church, teaching on how to do evangelism, and I said to them, write your testimony and email it to me. Only one person emailed it to me out of a congregation of about 300. And I was thinking, what is wrong? Maybe you're waiting. How are we going to save the world if we don't rise up and use what God has already given us? So the power of the Holy Spirit is not so that you feel happy, so that you have a better life. The power of the Holy Spirit is to drive out Satan and to rescue the lost people. So I made my little tracks. Why don't you make something? Maybe you can't write very well. Well, you buy one of these. It's a little recorder, and you record it. Get someone else to type it up for you. Or you can get a video camera. Make a video recording of your testimony. The Bible says we overcome Satan by the word of our testimony. We've got the words of eternal life. We've got the words of salvation. The biggest battle is getting it to the unbelievers who don't want to listen to it. So this is what the power of the Holy Spirit does. He challenges us. He sets us on fire. And he says, we've got to reach the lost people. And it's not too hard to give someone a DVD or to give someone a tract. But I want to do a quick teaching, really, to help bring you into a more personal, closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. I was brought up in a Christian family, came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior in a nice little countryside Methodist church. And it was beautiful. God's presence was there. And I had a real relationship with God the Father, and I had a real relationship with Jesus Christ. But I never knew that you could also have a personal friendship with the Holy Spirit. Probably the words Holy Spirit were mentioned many times, but it somehow didn't register or become real to me. And I think there's a Bible truth that comes through the Word of God, which is for today, that the Holy Spirit is on the earth. He's here now. We have faith in Him. His presence is with us. Why aren't our spiritual eyes opened more to see it and to walk in it? I think it's because maybe it wasn't preached in a way that develops that faith within me. So faith is developed through preaching the truth. You know, those true scriptures that Michael gave on healing, that just encouraged me, filled me with joy. Man, the promise of healing that Jesus has through his church is so great and so powerful. We have to see a healing revival in New Zealand. It's all in the Word of God. But we have to, you know, be able to take it out of the Word of God and release it in our lives and release it into reality. So we have to preach with faith. So I'm going to mention some points. So you come into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit has the attributes of God. You know, if your spiritual mind is not opened, you find it very hard to understand the Holy Trinity. But if your spiritual mind is open to the glory of Jesus, it's very easy to understand the Holy Trinity. That God is greater than a single one of us. Even though he's the one eternal God, God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, and present everywhere. Just the same attributes as God the Father and Jesus Christ. Jesus alone became a human being, but their unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is very wonderful and powerful. And it's so important to have a good understanding of the Trinity when you do evangelism, because you're always going to bump into Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses or whoever else who immediately denies the divine nature of Christ because they only see him as being a human. But we've got to believe the whole Bible. So the Bible has a perfect balance. It explains how Jesus was a man, but it also explains how he is eternal, one with God. So the same is with the Holy Spirit. The words temple of God and temple of the Holy Spirit, they're used interchangeably in the Bible. So we are the temple of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. To lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to God. Many times in the Old Testament, where it just says that God is speaking to the people of Israel, in the New Testament, it specifically says that the Holy Spirit was speaking to the people of Israel. So how did the apostles have that discernment to know that it was specifically the Holy Spirit speaking rather than God the Father or Jesus Christ? Obviously, God gave them that revelation when they were reading the scriptures. God showed them, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. So it's very interesting when you compare the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see some of the revelation that God gave to the apostles. And we have to expect to receive that kind of revelation when we read the Bible. The Bible is incredible. It's the greatest book ever. Once you actually start to see how great the Bible is, you just see the revelation of God. So I think every time you read the Bible, have a greater expectation of how you need your spiritual eyes to be opened. Because God can reveal powerful things to you by the Holy Spirit. You know, there was times when Jesus asked his disciples questions, and there were times when they specifically received revelation from God so that they actually gave Jesus a good answer instead of just the bad answers or the bad things that the disciples often said, which was just from their human minds. So our minds have to be open to receive from God all the time. Have greater faith to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm not mentioning all the scriptures, but in the gospel, one of the tracts there, which is on the Holy Spirit, it has many scriptures that you can look up and read on your spare time. So make sure you get copies of those tracts. Okay, number two is that we can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit and know him personally. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, Jesus speaking, he says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Just as Jesus saying to his people, you will know the Holy Spirit, for he lives in you and will be in you. So it's coming into this deeper revelation of these words that Jesus spoke. There are many promises, like 2 Corinthians 13:14, where it talks about, may you have the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to have fellowship? You know, it's sharing, it's friendship, it's intimacy. So we are walking in the Spirit. I've often thought about this. You know, how do you really walk in the Spirit? How do you really be led by the Spirit? Obviously, it's by faith. Faith is really looking to God, it's trusting God, it's believing God. So I was thinking every day we need this expectation that I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit in the way I do things. You know, your day might already be planned out for you. You already have your the necessary things that you have to do. But you can go into your day just naturally yourself, or you can go into your day with faith that I'm led by the Holy Spirit today because I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I know the Holy Spirit personally. I'm having fellowship with Him today. I want to encourage you to do that every day in a greater way. It's like opening your minds to the greater possibility. It's how you come closer to God, into deeper friendship and intimacy with God. It's turning the Word of God into reality. By faith, I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as you just consciously keep doing that, you never know how God might lead you differently in your attitude or even in the opportunities that He opens for you. When the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, it was to extend the kingdom of God. It was to do something powerful. So you never know in the small thing that you have to do tomorrow, it could be a big breakthrough for God's kingdom. You never know what God can do through you when you're led by the Holy Spirit. So by faith I receive it. Lord, I trust you. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. I see it in Jesus. I don't know fully how it works, but I know I receive it by faith. I trust you, Lord God. You're leading me. You're guiding me. You're guiding my future. Lord, I want your best plan for my future. Lead me to the best plan. Number three, the Holy Spirit draws people to God. So when we're doing evangelism, you know that we just meet barriers all the time in people's hearts and people's lives, especially where people are stubborn. So we have to trust the Holy Spirit more. Lord, even as I witness to this person who doesn't want to listen, Holy Spirit, draw them to God. So we are told by Jesus that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people's hearts of their guilt because of sin and righteousness and judgment, really because they don't believe in Jesus. So we are working with the Holy Spirit for Him to confirm the words of the gospel so that we can have great faith when we're sharing with people who don't want to listen to us. Let your faith increase to share the gospel. Let it increase not to give up when someone doesn't want to listen to you, but believe that the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit in evangelism. How many people can you take the gospel to in the next 10, 20, 30 years, which would be hindered if you stopped? But if you said, Jesus, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep sharing the love of God. I'm going to be filled with the love of Jesus. And the next 10 people you share with, they might not get saved. But that 11th one might get saved. So I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian, we have to share the salvation that we have because it's so great. It's so wonderful. And when we get to heaven, we can't save people from hell. We have to save them in this life now. So Lord, I want to have that zeal that Jesus Christ had to share with people. Share with people. I've got to keep sharing. God, I've got to be keep filled with boldness. I've got to seek you. I've got to walk with you. And I trust that it's the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. So many times we see the Holy Spirit speaking to people. Every message to the church, seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, was he who has ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I think God's voice is so soft and so deep within our hearts, sometimes we often deny that it's even God. How often we just need to keep praying, this is a good prayer, and I want you to put it into practice. Lord God, what do I need to do, which you've already told me to do, but I've forgotten, or I haven't done it? And just ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. That's one thing that Jesus said. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will remind you of my words, of what I've spoken. So Jesus has probably told you already to do something. You knew that he's told you, maybe at the time, or maybe you weren't 100% sure. It was just a small thing in your heart, oh, I should do this. And you forget, or you don't do it. But if you just pray and ask the Holy Spirit, remind me what I should do, maybe he will speak to you. So I just want you to pray that right now. Holy Spirit, remind me. Is there anything I should do? Is there anyone that I should share the gospel with? You were telling me to share with that person, but I didn't do it. And maybe God will bring that circumstances back. And another opportunity. God can give second chance. Is God saying anything to you? Bringing anything to your memory? Is there any person he wanted you to share the gospel with? And maybe in the next week or the next month or even the next 6 months, you might see them, and that will be the second chance to fulfill what God has already called you to do. So I think this kind of prayer we have to pray often. Because I think God is telling us to do things. God wants us to do things. We don't do it. We don't want to get to heaven and find that there was 1,000 things left undone that we were supposed to do. The good thing about God's mercy and grace is that he does give many chances. And if we wasted years, he can make it up. When we turn to him wholeheartedly, he can give us a second chance. So we don't get depressed. Oh, I failed, God. No, we don't walk in defeat. We walk in forgiveness. We walk in grace. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. We walk in God's love. And Lord, what do I need to do this week? What do I need to do for you? You know, if you really pray, Lord Jesus, what can I do for the gospel? God can speak to you. You know, there's such a big lost world. God wants it to be saved. So we have to keep praying. God, what do you want me to do? Okay, number four. The Holy Spirit releases the power of God. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave many promises. And one, even before, just the few verses before Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and verses 4 to 5, he talks about not leaving Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit frequently, constantly. It was one of his main preparations for the disciples. So he says, you've heard me speak about. Now the time was coming for it to be fulfilled. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In the end of the Gospel of Luke, which is at the same time, he mentions that you will be clothed with power from on high. I like that illustration of clothes. Our spiritual clothes is the power of the Holy Spirit. I know we have the armor of God, but we're also by faith, we're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like, it's our mantle. I think of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah threw down his mantle for Elisha. But it's like Jesus Christ has thrown down his mantle for the church. You are to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God is upon you. Hallelujah. The power of God is with you. Okay, number five. Mighty moves of God come through outpourings of the Holy Spirit. That's the revival in the book of Acts. There are many promises, like in Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The Holy Spirit will speak through us. I wish we had more time, but we don't. But we sort of need more, like at Bill Sobrinsky's seminar. He has very good teaching how to lead all Christians into prophecy, into these gifts. And really, it's just simple, childlike faith. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here with us. And I feel that presence right now. How about you? Holy Spirit is with you, and it's like you can speak a blessing to the person beside you. And that blessing, when you're speaking it now, you know it's anointed because you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to somehow not lose that awareness when we walk out of a good meeting. You know, we can be pumped up because we feel the presence of God, but we've got to walk in that by faith all the time, so that when I speak, there's power in my words. Like Michael was talking about the power of speaking healing, but there's also all the other areas of encouragement and blessing, which is linked to prophecy, to encourage and to edify people and build them up and fill them with the Holy Spirit when you speak to them. So I think all the time, let's have faith to let God speak through us, to encourage, to build, to strengthen. When I say, God bless you, a blessing is coming by God's power and presence. God's anointing, it just encourages you and builds you up. Number six, coming to the main point now, is that the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 39. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all who the Lord our God will call. That promise is for all who are far off. That can be far away from Jerusalem. That can also be all who are far off in time, because we're 2,000 years later, almost. But that promise is for all the Lord our God will call. So yes, the people needed to repent, be baptized in the water. Then they were given the promise that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. So when Jesus talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, he said that for as John baptized in water, I baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That is the gift for all people, all Christians, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we can go into the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. You know, Paul sort of defines them in nine different sections, and I think that's very good for our understanding and clarity. But I sort of also think that all of those gifts are so united. He keeps saying it's the one Spirit, it's the one Spirit. So it's not like, oh, I only want one gift. No, I believe Jesus has paid the price on the cross so that we can have his words of wisdom. We can have his message of knowledge. We can have the Holy Spirit speak through us. So that would release all the gifts. Before I get to heaven, I want to see all nine gifts powerfully displayed. The Bible gives these encouragements. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So it's like he wanted every Christian, let Jesus speak through you. Let Jesus speak a word of encouragement and edification and blessing and power through you. Every Christian, let Jesus speak through you. So every Christian can prophesy the blessings of God. Speak the blessings of God with faith. Speak the blessings of God that so that the presence of God comes upon people when you speak to them. It's like a simple word becomes powerful and real. When I speak a word, because we speak so many words and most of them we forget what people say to us. But if that word is a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit upon it, if it's spoken with true faith in Jesus, what can that simple word do in a person's life? It can bring huge blessings, huge uplifting. You can know that Jesus has spoken to me. And it might just be a simple word that God loves you. But those three words just become so powerful and burning in your life. Wow, I'm set free. I will never doubt the love of God again because I've come into it by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I'm filled with God's love. I'm filled with faith. I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with happiness and peace. I'm winning the victory. It's faith, isn't it? It's believing the word. It's receiving the word. It's like taking a simple word and putting a turbo boost upon it so that it's so anointed and powerful it just grips your heart, grips your life, transforms you, sets you on fire for Jesus, and you're filled with the reality of the blessing that you receive. So every Christian can prophesy. And I think that's what prophecy is to do, is to set us on fire for Jesus. So be blessed. You can prophesy in Jesus' name. God can speak through you. You can arise with the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. That's also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. So I just think the Holy Spirit is so wanting to move. The Holy Spirit is wanting to break forth revival in New Zealand. But we've got to say to the church, please don't put out the Spirit's fire. Let the Holy Spirit come and shake New Zealand. You be the vessel. That's why the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with God's presence. Be close to God. Be so close to God. What can I think of being filled with God? I'm walking with Jesus. You know, that's why Jesus said that we can do the works that he did and greater works, because he's seated at the Father. He wants to do it through us. So he wants to do the greater works. And I was thinking, I've got a long way to go. We've all got a long way to go, but we've got to believe it. We've got to receive it. I'm going to see breakthrough in Jesus' name. I'm going to see mighty miracles. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is for all believers. It's a part of our inheritance as Christians. Speaking in tongues edifies the believer, strengthens your faith. 1 Corinthians 14:4 and Jude verse 20. Pray in the Spirit. Jesus said that speaking in tongues would be a sign that would follow those who believe. Okay, 7th and final point. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. I'll say that if you've already received speaking in tongues, you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe today you need to seek God for a release of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. In many churches I've been to, it's like, wow, I can speak in tongues now. I've got everything I need. But you've only got one gift. You haven't got all 9. You have to have all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I found in many churches that I went to back in the early days, even today, maybe they're not even pushing tongues very much today. But at one point of time, they were really pushing tongues. You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to speak in tongues.
But I never heard anyone say, you've got to give a message of wisdom. You've got to have the gifts of healing. It was like it was all just only tongues. Tongues, and nothing else. I was thinking, why don't we put the same emphasis that we've put on tongues to the other gifts? You've got to have discernment of spirits. You've got to have miraculous powers. That's how NIV says it. I like that description. Miraculous powers. You've got to have miraculous powers in Jesus' name. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. Maybe if we pushed it more on the church, everyone would say, yeah, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. I've got to have the miraculous powers. And we'll get excited and we'll break through and we'll go for it. So we have to pray for people to receive the gift. Here's some just very basic practical advice, kind of a bit like what Bill Sobrzybski does, just in helping people to speak in tongues if they've never done it for the first time. Speaking in tongues is trusting God to give you a language which you do not know, so that your spirit is speaking to God with the help of the Holy Spirit. I have a tract also on speaking in tongues which has the Bible verses which you can read. So praying in tongues is not praying with your mind, but praying with your spirit. It is a spiritual experience, receiving the power of God. After prayer, you will need to make some sounds, even though they are meaningless to you. Amen. You should become as a little child and make these childlike sounds as though you are learning a new language. As you do this, the Holy Spirit can begin to flow within your spirit and upon your tongue. Be encouraged to open your mouth and begin to speak. To help you get started, you can say the word Abba, which means Father, referring to God as our Father. That's one of Bill Sobrzybski's techniques. He would often say, just say Abba, and then just let God speak to you. Abba, 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 blah, blah, and then you just continue speaking in tongues. That's one of his. But I think it's a good thing, because it's just encouraging the person. Don't just stand there while you're praying with a closed mouth and not wanting to move, but by faith open your mouth and let God begin to speak through you. So it's like you're stepping out of the boat. It's like it's forcing you. I'm trying and God's going to move me. You know, it's harder. What do they say? You know, it's harder to move a stationary object than something's already moving. So when you're moving towards God, He's helping you, and you're not having that resistant attitude. Oh, nothing's happening. It's not going to. Oh, I've been prayed for to receive tongues before, and nothing happened. Oh, it's too hard. And you're coming in with a defeat attitude. See, in my family, I have a couple of brothers, and that they've kind of struggled with tongues. And there's probably many Christians who have struggled. So we just give these kind of encouragements to break through. You know, God's anointing and presence is here. You just receive the anointing. Open your mouth and speak. And we just keep praying God will bring the breakthrough. Yes, our faith is in Jesus. His power, His presence is here. So we pray. We come with an attitude of praising God, worshiping God. We fix our eyes on Jesus, expecting His anointing. And as we pray, those already have received, we just pray in tongues, believe the Lord. And of course, the same as with prophecy, really. Just believe God to speak into your word. He can bring a scripture to your memory. And that can be the basis of your prophecy that Jesus wants to speak through. It can be praise, it can be worship, it can be adoration of God, the tongue. And then there's interpretation of tongues. So also expect Jesus to give you the interpretation of tongues. You've got to have it. If you've got tongues, Paul said you should pray for the interpretation. So that means every Christian has to have the gift of interpretation of tongues. Do you have the gift of interpretation of tongues? Reach out to God for it. You've got to have it. Continue praying, more God's power, God's presence come upon you. Ask the Holy Spirit to arise like a mighty river or like spiritual fire as the day of Pentecost. So by faith we speak out, we receive the gifts.
We receive the power and the presence of God. So I do have a prayer that we can lead people into. And as I said, if you already speak in tongues, just take it to the next level. Is there another gift that you want God to give you? Remember, Paul said, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So I want miraculous powers. Amen. Okay, let's stand. I'll lead you in another prayer. And then anyone who would like to come forward for specific prayer, if you've never spoken in tongues before, please come forward. We'll pray for you. Because today is your day. The presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. If you'd like other spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, if you want to have a release of that, come forward for prayer. And if you need more prayer for healing, for deliverance, we are also here to continue to pray for that. And God's blessings.
Can you explain what prophecy is? Today, prophecy is so, expanded, so you really don't know what Scripture talks about as prophecy. So it would be good if you could.
Well, you start with prophecy as really a blessing of edification. So your aim is to bless people. So it's not to aiming to speak into a person's life certain things like you're going to have an accident next week. That's not a blessing. So the aim is always to encourage, to strengthen, to bless, to lift up, to fill them with the presence of God, to fill them with the joy of the Lord. And remember, a person came to my mother when she was just when I was a baby, I think, and said to her, "You're going to have a life of suffering." Now, that's not kind of prophecies. That's bordering on turning into witchcraft, that you're speaking curses on people. So the Bible says to bless people, not to curse them. So I think that's really a key thing to keep in mind. When you're speaking to a person, you're not aiming to curse them. No, we don't want that. We don't want fear. We want speaking blessing of God on a person. And it's uplifting them and strengthening them. And then if God gives you, certain words of, let's say if God gave you a word of knowledge to pray for a certain sickness, you then need the wisdom of God, how to deal with it. So again, to have the wisdom of God is having a focus on blessing the person. Because you can speak in a way that's quite negative, but it's always blessing, blessing, blessing. Okay, let's all say this prayer together. And then anyone who wants more specific prayer, you come to the front. That includes gifts of tongues, Holy Spirit baptism, and then any of the other spiritual gifts. If you still need healing prayer, if you still need deliverance prayer, we'll be happy to pray for you. Let's say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I commit my life wholeheartedly to you. Once again, forgive me of all sin. Remove any blockages that are hindering me from knowing the anointing. I renounce all fear. I renounce unbelief. I confess that Jesus Christ is the baptizer and the Holy Spirit. Now fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me power to be a witness for you. I open my heart to receive this gift. For your power and anointing to come upon me right now. Baptize me with your Spirit. Clothe me with the power of God. Fill me to overflowing with your joy and peace. By faith in Jesus Christ, I receive the gift of speaking in other tongues. Even a new tongue. I ask for the gift of prophecy and any other spiritual gift according to your will. Thank you for hearing this prayer and anointing me in Jesus' mighty name. So while God's presence is here, just continue to seek God where you're standing. And if you want further prayer, please come forward now.